Are you a passionate adult content creator striving for greater success? My name is Stella Sky, CEO of Minx Digital, and we are here to empower creators like you. Minx Digital offers a comprehensive 8-hour adult content creator course meticulously designed to enhance your skills and increase your monthly revenue. As a special offer for our listeners, use code PODCAST to save 60% off. We also offer a range of creator services to elevate your online presence. From custom domain setup to link site build-out to efficient email collection and marketing strategies, we're here to help you shine in the digital landscape. Our expertise also extends to building full member websites, managing affiliate programs, and helping you secure brand deals to maximize your money-making opportunities. Go to minxdigital.com for more information, or you can email me directly, stella@minxdigital.com, to set up a consultation. Hello, creators. Welcome to the Money in XXX, the podcast for creators by creators, brought to you by Minx Digital. You can check us out for all your digital marketing needs and other services as well, custom to your needs. And you can check us out at minxdigital.com, minxxxdigital.com, or follow our socials, minx social, minx social, Twitter, TikTok, everywhere you can find us. And today I am with Stephen Malora. He's a therapist with Pineapple Support. So welcome, Stephen, to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, Stella. Appreciate you inviting me. So as Stella said, I'm a licensed mental health counselor, licensed professional counselor. I own Prosperity Counseling and Coaching, my own practice, and I'm also a Pineapple Support therapist. Pineapple Support is a charity that offers free or low-cost mental health counseling and services to people in the adult entertainment industry, and I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, and also, something that I really like that Pineapple Support does, something I really like that they were offering at ABN was harm reduction services. That is, I'm sure, at the top of everyone's mind in the recent passing of some people in the adult industry community. And we want everyone to be safe. And I was happy to see that they were providing Narcan and fentanyl test strips. So as far as I'm aware, you can reach out to Pineapple Support also to get harm reduction supplies. And that applies to everyone. If even if just people around you are using, or even if you're in scenarios where people might be using and putting themselves in danger, it's a good thing to have around.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and it's easy to get the Narcan, easy to get the test strips. If you don't know, contact me and I'll find your local pickup area for you.
Amazing. Thank you, Stephen. So today I wanted to talk about therapy for sex workers especially, and maybe clarify some things about people who are a little hesitant to seek out therapy because of what they do for work, and they're worried about stigma around this area of work, or you're not talking to the right person necessarily. So Stephen, how would you recommend somebody start to seek out mental health services?
Well, first things first, Pineapple Support. We have our list of counselors on there. But a lot of it is, even before that, actually, a lot of people don't even know what counseling is. So let's go there. So the way I like to describe it, or at least the way I'd like to describe my practice, is I help people face things about themselves and about the world that terrify them. So I can get them to face them, help them face them, help them get stronger, empowered, courageous, and so that they can get the life they want, the sleep they want, the money they want, the sex, relationships, the relaxation that they've always wanted. It's like, right. Okay, great. I'm here to help you. I'm here to get to the empowerment. What does that mean? A lot of it's talk therapy. A lot of it's different techniques, and different counselors and different therapists will do it different ways. But the main idea is we're trying to ultimately get to healing and happiness. And that's the quick and dirty version of it. So if you're having questions about how a normal therapy session is run and what you're looking for, first Google it, research it, check ChatGPT, like what's a normal therapy session, or what's a specialist therapy session on this one issue I'm having, whether it's anxiety, depression, trauma.
Because you might have, in your mind, the cartoonish, like, Freudian laying on a sofa talking to a guy smoking a cigar. Right. And most it doesn't have to look like that.
Absolutely. Most people either have the Bugs Bunny version from like the 50s where it's like you're laying on your back and in the fancy little duvet chair and then someone's not even looking at you and just going,
right.
Or they have the other one's Sopranos. Usually it's like, okay, Dr. Melfi, Tony Soprano, you know, and those are only like 3 minute clips between, you know, scenes of Tony doing mobster stuff. But it's like, okay, there's this not exactly the best or most accurate visual for it. So right. Do your own research. And if you're comfortable and vulnerable enough, you can say, hey, have you ever gone to therapy, friend? And if so, what was your experience? And they don't have to answer, of course, but you can just ask the question, see if other people might have some information. So do a little research first. And then always go to Pineapple because I love Pineapple. Pineapple's the best. Yeah. Pineapple Support is absolutely wonderful and I love working for them. But there are other there are other sex worker friendly sites and services as well. I believe your podcast with Jordan, she mentioned Cupcake Girls. Love right. Cupcake Girls as well. They're the best. Met you guys, I believe, at AVN XBiz in May. Amazing people. And what else? There's the Kink Aware Professionals Directory, which is also
a new one really for great. Me.
Oh, yeah. So I'm on that on three different states because I'm licensed in three states. But Kink Aware Professionals, it's KAP. I don't remember the exact website. I think it's KAP.org. But if you just Google it, they'll come up or we can put in the show notes. But basically, it not only does sex worker-friendly therapists, but psychologists, dentists, doctors, other services as well.
That's so a good directory that's a really, really to have. Good,
absolutely.
Which you wouldn't think, but I've literally had it happen to me at the dentist. The dentist can identify certain things. They might just think you're a very sexually active person, but, you know, blowjobs can leave hickeys on the roof of your mouth. I learned that the hard way at my dentist.
Okay.
I learned something today. Nice. I was getting my teeth cleaned and they were like, did you do something recently? And because there's a lot of suction involved. You're essentially, you can give your soft palate a hickey. So that is a very real need. And especially I can see for women's health as well, having a sex worker friendly gynecologist and doctor on your team who is going to have judgment free services to you because that's absolutely necessary. You're staying on top of that physical health. And absolutely. I just wanted to backtrack a little bit before you go on. Before the seeking, like, what are some signs someone might be noticing in their life where they might want to consider, like, oh, hey, these things are going on. It might be good for me to talk to somebody.
I always like the subtle signs, like the little things that are kind of disrupting your life, but you're not really quite sure why. You can't sleep at nights. Or you have some goal you have, like if you're normally very, very conscientious and like for some reason you can't wake up on time or can't get to the gym on time, or you're trying to, you know, do something for yourself, but for some reason you can't get out of bed and you're not really sure why, but it's like, it's all these little signs that you're conscious, your body or something is telling you, oh, there's something wrong here. Maybe right. I should talk to someone.
Slightly off. Life feels different right now and not in a good way.
Absolutely. And otherwise, I mean, other times people are just like, oh yeah, I'm just horribly depressed and I just need to talk.
Right.
And that's a lot of awareness crises.
Right. If we've gotten into crises, we really want to be getting into action. If there's, you know, thoughts about not wanting to be here anymore, those are things like, okay, we really need to jump into action here. But ideally, we're able to kind of see, okay, something's kind of off and I'm not able to identify it. And I highly recommend for all things to have some form of coach or somebody that is able to kind of reflect back to you. So you're not constantly living in your own personal echo chamber of potentially getting off track and not even realizing it. If there's somebody else there to hold you accountable through areas of your life, it can be a little bit easier to catch these things ahead of time. So,
and one more thing, if I may add, like you have friends you trust and they say, I think you should talk to someone and you trust them. maybe you should talk to someone.
Right. Good friends. So
having another, yes, listen to them.
Absolutely. All right. So back to where we were. We're looking for a therapist, a couple resources. How about therapist red flags when I'm looking for somebody? Or I talk to them and I have a first session with them.
Mm-hmm. Comfort first. It's like, okay, is this person, first things first, welcoming, comfortable? And maybe the person just had a bad day, or they just had a, you know, an intense session with someone else. So maybe they're a little bit, you know, drained on the first session. So let's say you're a new client going to a therapist. If you feel vulnerable enough and courageous enough, you can say, hey, listen, just so you know, I'm a very sex positive person. I'm going to want a counselor who is as well. If there's any restrictions or shame you have around it, maybe this isn't the best relationship and you can refer me to someone else you trust. And just start it off that way. Ask. Like, hey, what's your views on sex? What's your views on sex work? That's the biggest green flag there. It's like, okay, oh, you're fine with it? Great, let's keep going. But the other ones are, what's, you can ask about training all the time. So I'm a K-CREP accredited, I'm a licensed therapist from a K-CREP accredited university. So I had to take a human sexuality course and other courses to teach me about these things. Other people who didn't come from those accredited schools might not have had the same education I had.
Interesting.
They weren't forced to do a human sexuality course or things like that. Now that's very state to state and school to school. But you can ask, hey, did you take any human sexuality courses in your grad school? What's our views on that? What, because if part of your life is going to be talking about sex work and the everything around that, you really want a counselor who is at least open to it.
Yeah. But even knowing what to ask, what kind of schooling, because that's totally unknown. I didn't know that. But if I have the knowledge to ask. Yeah. So ask if you've taken human sexuality as part of your education. Are there continued education things I could also ask?
Oh, yeah.
If they attend conferences. Yeah.
Now, most states don't require a human sexuality cap course for continuing education, but you can just ask, hey, are you interested? So I, Steve, am being a recovering Catholic. You know, growing up, I was told if I look at a woman, I'm going to hell. And now I'm compensating the other way by saying, wait. Forget the shame. Forget all this stuff. I'm really going to learn everything I can about sex, everything I can about relationships, about how the mind works, how to express myself sexually, because it's a human desire. I'm not going to ever feel shame about wanting to being horny, to being like, right. Oh, that's a beautiful woman. I would love to take her to bed. I'm never going to be ashamed of that. And you can ask, what's your background? What are your views on this? Are you coming from a religious background that leads to some sort of shame or guilt or whatever around sexuality or any restrictions on it? If so, I want to know first, you know, day one, hour one. And are you interested in it? Yeah. Have you read any of the books? Have you read Come As You Are or, you know, Unzipped or any of the big books about, like, okay, poly, sex, relationships, anything like that? And then I would say the other red flags are, so I'm very interested in sex. It's one of my favorite things to do. But don't be a weirdo about it. Like, I have heard so many horror stories of clients who have went to a counselor and it's like, oh, tell me more. Did you, like, what, almost like voyeuristically engaging in what was your sex work like? Tell me more. So not because it's clinically appropriate so that I can get off. It's like, no.
Or like, or treating it like it's juicy gossip or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a component of drama that you can enjoy, but no, not gossip. Not like we're not, their stories aren't our stories. We're not taking mom like that. We're here to help. We're here to heal, not for our own entertainment. That's not the primary, at least. And other red flags. Just respect. Just like, okay, are you treating me with all the respect I deserve as a human being?
Yeah. Seeing me. Absolutely. Yeah. And I have been seeing a therapist from Pineapple Support, and I have to say it is so incredible. And like the weightlessness of just being able to talk freely and not have someone stop and question and go, wait, what is that? To not even have to explain what things are or to have to explain how things work. That is a huge weight off my shoulders because that is in itself exhausting, having to explain yourself to somebody every time you have to talk about something and you just want to talk about like, oh, I just want to talk about this experience with a fan that I had through a fan site and how it made me feel. And if somebody doesn't even understand how that works and they're like, oh, so what, they send you like a tip or something? And that would exhaust me. I'm like, I don't have to tell you how OnlyFans works. I just want to talk about the experience I had on it or any of the things.
Yeah, that's another aspect where it's interesting because I love all of my Pineapple Support co-therapists and everyone. And coming back almost from like AVN or Exotica and coming back to the real world with like maybe some colleagues who aren't specialized in sexual health or sex work or whatever you want to describe it as, are just like, what I view as common sense and kind of like the world I kind of live in.
Yeah.
Other people are like, what's that? What is this thing? Like, there's specialized knowledge. I get that question so many times. I'm like, oh yeah, I just came back from Exodus. And I was like, what? They have those? Right. Like, yes, just like counseling conferences. We get the people together and have a good time and, you know, exchange business cards and schmooze.
Yeah. It's great. Every industry has its conference, no matter how, I mean, hell, while AVN's going on, they have the concrete convention, right? And I'm asking the same questions. I'm going, how many advances in concrete are there a year? And I learned something. They too need to stay certified to continue to work. They attend seminars for continued education. I was like, who knew?
That is awesome. Yeah. I was a bachelor party in Vegas, I want to say a year and a half ago, and there was just happened to be like a roofers convention.
My gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of roofing. Yep. SEMA runs at the same time as the woodworking convention. That also. Wonderful. Anyway, I could go down a whole convention rabbit hole completely.
Right.
So I found my therapist. Great. If I have insurance, are there therapists through Pineapple Support that accept insurance?
Yes. So I'm going to explain. So first things first, listen to your other podcast about Jordan. Listeners, listen to Stella's other podcast about, yes, her name was Jordan.
Jordan Davis.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. She explained the getting insurance side. So first things first, if you don't have insurance, look them up. And then let me explain how I run. So I run my own business called Prosperity Counseling and Coaching, and I'm a contractor for Pineapple Support. Now, the way I run my own business is I'm licensed in 3 states, and I take 5 different kinds of insurances, as well as Pineapple Support, a different charity, Camaraderie Foundation, that does free counseling for veterans and service members, nice, and their families, and as well as a couple of other EABs. I'm also a U.S. Army veteran, so if you're a veteran, come see me too. So anyway, basically, if you want to see me through insurance, it would be through that business. So if you have Aetna or UPMC or United, just call me and say, hey, I want to use my insurance, and we'll do that. If you want to pay me out of pocket, that'll be $200 an hour. Just do that. And I know some of you have money. Not everyone. I know it's tough, but some of you do. But the way Pineapple Support and why it exists and the way it does is it's secret. You don't need a paper trail. We're not beholden to any of the insurance companies. No one's reading any of your case notes or diagnostics. It's just, hey, here's this charity. We're providing HIPAA compliant, confidential, everything licensed, everything above board counseling, but we're not beholden to anyone. We can only break confidentiality if you're a danger to yourself or others, if you know of a child, elder, or other protected population being abused and neglected, or a judge's court order. And that's usually across the board in the United States. There's some slight different rules internationally, but that's basic though. So stigma and fear of being screwed over by society or
you
know, God forbid your doctors or someone else who gets your medical records.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Like things on your medical record. That was something in my conversation with Jordan, actually, where she was saying like a lot of the stuff that you might say to a therapist, say to a psychiatrist, say to a doctor is going to get written down in your medical record and potentially bar you from insurance coverage in the future. And so that adds that layer of protection to completely judgment-free service. That's great.
Absolutely. And that's one amazing, wonderful thing about Pineapple Support. It bypasses all the insurance requirements of that stuff and just says, hey, if you want to just have no notes or only like the bare minimum, that's perfectly fine. Now, if I'm seeing someone and they want to, so first things first, if you want counseling that way, call Pineapple Support. I'm not quite sure how the back end on Cupcake Girls goes, but maybe call them to see what their options are.
I think we'll probably have Amy on sometime. She'll delve the secrets. That'd be great.
Nice. She's awesome. So yeah, reach out to Pineapple Support, Cupcake Girls, and then come see us. Now, if you want, let's just say you have a W-2, you have insurance through, I take Aetna, so let's just say Aetna. And you say, Steve, I want you as my counselor. I want to get it through insurance, but I want to restrict some of the things that you write in your notes. That will be also perfectly fine. Nice. I won't say anything about sex work. I won't say anything about whatever the restrictions are. I won't add any proper identifying marks. If you have a boyfriend, I'm just calling him boyfriend. If you have a family member, I'm usually just using the first letter of something, or I'm usually just saying what they are, father, or if we can even make it less identifying than that if you want to. And we can even go over the notes themselves, because any note that I write both belongs to me and belongs to the client. So I have written notes with clients just to say, listen, I'm making sure everything I write is approved by you. I'm not lying or anything. I'm just saying this is language I'm using to show that I'm doing my job so the insurance companies pay me and that you're safe.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It makes me think of the episode of Seinfeld where Elaine gets her something written in her medical notes and she's trying to see what notes they wrote, and all the doctors are like, you can't look at your record. You know, that's awesome to have that transparency.
Yeah, actually, if you request in writing your medical records and they don't give it to you, I'm pretty sure you can sue them. Not quite sure how much, but it's something. Something about not doing your job.
Yeah.
And same thing if you're paying out of pocket, much similar to how Pineapple Support works. If you're paying out of pocket and you say, hey, Steve, I want no paper trail. There's some ethical considerations. I usually have to write something just to show that I'm seeing this person, but it can be a one sentence thing.
Yeah. Came in for life advice.
Treated depression, CBT. Yeah.
Great. Oh, that's great. So you do do you do DBT as well?
I don't do DBT. I'm not trained enough in that. Usually I'm very focused on existential counseling, which is a big fancy word for meaning making. It's like, okay, what gets you up in the morning? What's your purpose in life? Do you not have one? Well, let's go find one. What are the things about, like, you know, just the things that all humans face, loneliness, you know, one day we're going to die, one day we're going to lose people. Like, how do we face those things and empower ourselves and try to make it our own? And then the other, so that's my big umbrella that I work under. And the other one is psychodynamics, which is archetypes. Like, who are you trying to be? Are you trying to be, you know, a warrior, a lover? Are you trying to be Dwayne the Rock Johnson? Are you trying to be, who's your hero? Who are your villains? Who are we trying not to be as well? That screws up people so much. It's like, oh, I'm avoiding being arrogant. And it's like, oh, well, you have no pride and you're humble to a fault where everyone steps all over you. Let's get a little bit of pride, but not so much arrogance.
Find a healthy balance.
Yes. Yeah.
And I find that to be balance, true for a lot.
For good.
Yeah. Yeah. How to use your there are aspects, and I think that's something for particularly in this industry to learn. There are aspects of being firm and setting boundaries that can feel very mean to people. Like, and that is something you need to learn to stand by and not feel guilty for, or you will get trampled in this industry. So learning how to set boundaries effectively and learning that it is an act of kindness in reality to set boundaries clearly to people, because you're telling them exactly how you wish to be received and spoken to and treated.
It's like, oh,
and it's makes it clear and easy for everyone to have that interaction.
It's like, oh, this person's dangerous or toxic to you now, where, you know, the relationship's hostage, basically. It's like, okay, this is not good. Let's learn how to, we can be sensitive and be nice to people, but let's not be so nice that it really screws up our life. And sometimes we just gotta rip that Band-Aid off, feel bad, and then get back to work the next day.
Yeah. And what I learned, I was in a DBT therapy group for a little, almost 2 years. And something that I learned about boundaries and relationships with people, and this can apply to relationships with your fan base as well, or even your relationships with social media. It doesn't have to be a relationship with a person, but if that relationship is coming at a cost of your self-respect, that is a sign that it is over your boundaries. So if it is affecting your ability to see yourself as somebody who is deserving of respect in those things, that is a sign that you need to be setting a boundary there.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of confusion in those relationships because of a lot of reasons. But one of the things I hate most is casting shade, where it's like, okay, you're high school, you're on the back of the bus, and you're insulting each other, and it's supposed to be enjoyable. But the idea is, it's like, okay, there's a certain line you don't cross, and you're really actually just trying to get to the bleeding edge until you cross it, and then you get, like, checked a little bit. Or maybe you get checked a lot. And if you're a guy, this is usually a male thing, but it's like, okay, cool, maybe this is a, you know, a connection thing. Great. Perfectly fine. But a lot of people will view genuine malice insults as playing around, and I was like, oh, I hate that so much.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm not
this
a fan
is at the
of
cost of your self-respect.
I'm not a fan of that kind of joking or interaction.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, and I tend to notice if it's one thing if it happens every now and then, because there are friends that we kind of razz together, but we razz on ourselves as well. But it's when every interaction is something where it's coming at a slight diss or something, and it's like, it's not funny to be mean.
No, it isn't. And yeah, I was in the army, there was plenty of locker room talk or barracks talk, which is fine, like if you're walking into that game with your eyes open. But why the hell do you want to talk to your girlfriend like that? Why do you want to treat the person you're supposed to love like that?
Yeah, it's really it hits different when it's from your significant other, for sure. I'm like, you're supposed to think I have no flaws.
Well, let's not go that far. But yes, generally worth it, and I'm treating you well, despite flaws.
There needs to be a balance. It can't always be in mean-spirited at the core of it.
Well, I don't think it should ever be really mean-spirited. Like, we can have a little fun, but yeah, no. If you have the actual malice here, or some actual things that need to be addressed with this person, maybe you need to see a couples counselor. Maybe you need to see someone who's like helping you explain that.
If it's like talking about how gurgly your stomach is at night, that's, you know, funny. If it's talking about how your IBS gets in the way of everything and we can't do anything, that's a little different.
That's a little different,
right?
And if there is an issue that needs to be addressed logistically, let's just say you're married to someone with IBS or some other chronic illness. It's like, okay, you can negotiate that, but the narrative is you're not going to do this resentfully, and you're not going to do this passive aggressively.
Yeah.
And the passive aggressive thing, unless I grew up in a family where confrontation was constant. So I went passive the opposite way. It took the army, two universities and years of therapy to like get me to like, okay, this is what assertiveness is. This is how adults should talk to each other, not the way you learned how adults talk to each other. It's like, okay, a lot of people don't know. First things first, they don't even recognize. They don't even recognize, oh, you're doing this passive aggressive dickish thing that is expressing some contempt, but in a way that if they confront you about it, you can say, oh, I'm just playing around, or why are you so sensitive? Yeah. And it's like,
ooh, that one hit a nerve. Don't be so, you're too sensitive.
Yeah, I hate that so much. Maybe you should be more sensitive. It's like, yeah, go that direction. Anyway, or just be like, wait, even if I am sensitive, that doesn't discount my emotions or what I want right now or how hurt I am. It's like, yeah, we're still a dick whether I was sensitive or not.
Still yeah, hurt. So. It still hurt. I want to talk maybe a little bit more about that boundary setting and any recommendations you might have on how to firmly set boundaries. And I think it might look a little bit different between people you personally know, and then also how to set boundaries in the parasocial world that we live in.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's break this down a little philosophically first. Let's get a little Steve theory in here. So here's being in a toxic relationship. Here's being alone. And here is a healthy relationship. So toxic relationship, alone, healthy relationship. You want up here. You want the triangle and up. You want all the great things about being connected with someone in a healthy relationship and all the benefits of that. But a lot of people, when they come to me, will say, I'd rather be in a toxic relationship than be alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes I got to say, well, let me know when that shifts, because I probably can't do much with you until that shifts. And some people will say it's shifted and then there's not really, or they'll whatever. So be aware that that scarcity mindset, like if I don't have this toxic relationship, I'll have nothing, might be in your head. But either way, it's not up here. This is what you want.
Yeah.
So assertiveness, setting boundaries, first things first, your wants, your needs are probably very valid. Unless you're wanting like something in like, I don't know, intensely inappropriate based on either societal expectations or what your relationship is negotiated on, things like that. You can say, listen, I have these desires, whether these human desires for being treated right, basic respect in this relationship. You know, if we have a problem, let's communicate it. Maybe we need to negotiate on how we communicate, but we need to communicate it. And if we can't get those basic needs met, maybe this isn't the person for me, whether romantically, socially, family, or even work. And hey, you can have a work relationship with someone you hate. You just you have to work together. You don't have to go out for coffee and drinks afterwards.
Yeah.
And you can say, this is the extent of how much healthiness we can work on. Oh, we're really good at lifting, I don't know, pianos and moving them into trucks. That's the extent of our relationship. That's it.
Yeah.
And hey, right, that might be a healthy extent. So be aware of what you're looking for. That's probably valid. True. You're worthy of having it. And then, is this person able to meet these needs? If yes, great. If no, that's when we need to have some level of either confrontation or just communication or something. And we can say, listen, this is what I want. If you want a really, really, really good guide on how to do this, I highly suggest nonviolent communication. It's four steps. It's basically just saying, hey, when you do X, I feel Y. When you do this thing called playing around, I feel really hurt in my heart. What I would request of you is, if you want to play around with me, don't do it maliciously and don't do anything with any insults. Can you do that for me? So when X happens, this is how I feel. This is my request. And that's it.
And then they've got the option to say, yes, sorry, I was hurting you like that. I can change my ways. Or they might go, you're just too sensitive. And then, you know, that person mm-hmm. is never going to respect that.
And there could be a maybe, because maybe is, okay, wait, I really want to understand what the limits of my behavior are. Because a lot of people are, I don't want to say idiots. I want to say not really very focused on the internal world. Like, they're really good
they're not
at
self-aware. They're not very aware or even externally aware, but a level of awareness is not there.
Exactly. Not self-aware, not externally aware. It's like, what are feelings? I have plenty of clients who are like, I ask them what they feel and they have no idea.
Because that's something too. Feelings, people can only meet you where they're at.
So if it's yes, no, or maybe, and maybe, yeah, there's some room to improve and negotiate. And maybe you see a couples counselor about it. But if it's a straight no, I think that's already an indicator of how that relationship is going to go in the future. The person's like, I can't even give you the basic respect. What are you going to do?
Right. And if it's something small in the beginning, honestly, that's a better time to take note of that red flag and end that before it ends up, oh, you choose to ignore and kind of live with this thing that bugs you for a while. But then it happens with something bigger. Like the trope I see all the time is the girlfriend boyfriend, and the boyfriend never does any of the like cleaning up or anything, and she kind of laughs about it and cleans up after him, but then they have a baby and now he's really not helping, and he was already kind of showing those signs, and maybe they talked to him about it and it never really went anywhere, but there was a point in time where that was a little bit easier to, I hate to say walk away from, but to walk away from those red flags or address it and change it. But later it becomes a bigger issue. There's a lot more emotion and resentment behind the issue at this point. Now we're getting divorced.
Don't wait for resentment to build. Please, for the love of God. I have so many clients who have been like, oh, we have 20, 30 years of poison to unpack. And it's like, why now? Why not in that puppy love phase or the first year of marriage or after the first kid or after the, God forbid, the fourth kid? Why now?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's so much repression here. And there's this, and a lot of people have this tendency, and I had it too growing up, bury, explode.
You were brought up Catholic too, so.
Yes. And Italian. So that's a whole thing. But, yeah, and it's like, okay, no. We need to be able to have some open communication with the person we theoretically love in our life, or even if we don't love them, we still need enough communication with a coworker, with a friend, with a family member, where we can resolve issues. They were not going to be best friends forever, but we need to be able to, like, bury hatchets, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't exist, maybe you shouldn't hang out with each other ever. Not even on social media. Just to bring it back to the assertiveness, if you find yourself resisting assertiveness, if you're afraid that if I go pursue my needs and express them to my partner or family member or whoever, and this person is going to cause more problems for me, then the other thing is don't wrestle with a pig. Ever. Some people love fighting. I don't. I can if I need to. But I have been with people who absolutely adore the act.
Yeah.
It's like they'll say they're pissed off and like, oh, I'm so hurt. No, you're so on fire right now. And if they're not willing to work with you and just have basic respect, that what did I say? The nonviolent communication. I love it because it's two adults talking to each other.
Yeah.
When you do X, I feel Y, this is what I'd like for you. Yes, no, or maybe, or hey, let's negotiate. That is two people being civil. If they can't do that, or they're not interested in learning it, that tells you everything you need to know about the person.
Totally.
I'm not saying, immediately throw them in the trash. I'm like, it's definitely giving you information that you need to say, wait a minute, what kind of relationship do I want with this person?
Exactly, like the lowest bar of just being emotionally evolved enough to even have that conversation. So if we can't even talk this way in this simplified manner, there's not a whole lot we can talk about.
Exactly. And there's also might be an all or nothing thinking going on. Like, I need this person in my life fully, like BFF, like up my butt all the time. It's like, no. This can be a work acquaintance. This can be right. The person you see at the family reunion, you know, once every 2 years. This could be just some dude on the street corner we see at Starbucks every so often, give the head nod. Just because you happen to have one conversation, relationships change. Yeah. People who were best friends for me 10 years ago, I see them maybe once a year, and that's okay. And do I miss them sometimes? Absolutely. But I have other best friends forever now. I have other people who it's like, okay, you know, it ebbs and flows. And just because we had friends back in high school doesn't mean we have to keep them when we're on our 20s.
And we don't have to feel guilty about letting those relationships change and evolve over time. And being like, oh, God, I have to maintain all of these friendships at the highest level possible. Or like the mythical giant friend group of best friends that you see like on sitcoms and stuff, where it's like, you know, that's so not real life. You know, there are times when you have more friends and less friends, and there's one true friend through all of these things. And there's friends that have different roles that you see for a different amount of time. And that goes for fans, too, to not feel guilty about letting relationships change over time or fans come and go. You know, absolutely, customer retention is important, but to let those relationships evolve as well without feeling guilty about that.
Right. And you use one of my favorite words, roles. So if you are a person, maybe it would be a little strong to say a martyr complex, but if you are a person who self-sacrifices for other people, even without being asked, let's just be aware of it. Maybe there's something like, oh, I do need to keep all my friends because I need to show my love and taking care of them. Or worse, hey, this is a person who can't take care of him or herself. I'm going to be there to save them and self-sacrifice and give them money or give them whatever they need. It's like, hey, I don't mind helping people. I don't mind altruism. But a lot of people will engage in these self-sacrificing behaviors or have these, I need to be the perfect daughter. I need to be the perfect wife, the perfect husband. And that means accepting bullshit because that's how I show love. And it's like, if that's your schema, your map of how you think, we need to change this as a core belief because it's not helping you.
Yeah.
It might be helpful in upbringing when you're in a traumatic situation or really extreme, but it's no longer helping you anymore.
And that is something really important that I learned in therapy as well, is that the coping mechanisms that were no longer serving me at that point in my life and were in fact taking away from everything instead of adding to it. There was a point in time where that was a functional. There is a reason that system went into place. The mind and the body is very capable at adapting to situations for survival. So at some point that thought process that you had or that reaction that you had, that did serve you at one point in time or another. So to be judgment free with yourself and not be like, God, I'm such a terrible person because I absolutely lose it when I get mad. That's okay. That's okay. It doesn't serve you anymore. There was a point in time where that was what served you best, and that was you doing your best. And now you're ready. Now you can see that it's not serving you and you're ready to evolve past it. But don't be upset with yourself or label yourself as a bad person because these are the techniques that you have had to resort to. That's all you have in your toolbox. You just need to add more to your toolbox. And that's what therapists are great for doing, is giving you more tools to deal with the craziness that is life.
Yep. And I work with a lot of veterans and they come back from the wars and it's like, oh yeah, the way you existed for, you know, years in the desert, whichever desert, different world when you're back in Pittsburgh and going to Starbucks and, you know, a car backfires or something minor happens. Don't blow up anyone. Don't yell at the barista. Let's make sure, let's not only change your mindset and relax. It's like, wait, the way you lived, it's not wrong. It's just specific to the situation. And we can say, thank you for all your help. I'm putting you on the bench while I learn to, I don't know, be gentle or learn how to relax or learn how to like have basic communication. And
I love that.
God forbid you have to go back to war. You can always pull that person back and be like, okay, survival mode.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, survival mode. A lot of us in this industry have been in a place at one point in our lives where we were in survival mode. So giving mm-hmm. yourself the grace to, you know, forgive yourself and accept yourself as you are, because it got you to here now and you're alive. So it worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked about kind of setting those boundaries with the people that you know in person. Do you have tips or practices in being assertive or setting boundaries through social media and that parasocial world? Yeah, because we have to be on social media, and that can easily become a big mind warp. It can suck you in and take all your time and make you feel certain ways. It can throw off your whole day.
So first things first, trigger fingers turned into Twitter fingers. Everyone's hard. Everyone's a badass behind a screen.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 miles away or non-existent. There are so many bots and there's so many like just random people in, you know, in I want to say digital sweatshops, but just like causing chaos for no reason. Or they're a bunch of 12-year-olds with nothing else to do other than talk shit. And it's like, okay, you have to be aware of where this is coming from. One of my friends who is also in the sex work industry, she was talking about to me about, you know, this one person talking a lot of crap on one of her comments or one of her posts.
Mm.
She met the person at a club and he was scared of her. It's like, oh, this is amazing. It's like, huh, you really are hard behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk?
And so, also, you're like, you have yappy little dog syndrome, you know? You know? That's totally what that is. The big dog comes out.
Every puppy thinks he's a wolf.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, oops, I'm sorry. I'm actually really scared of you.
Yeah. And this friend is tiny, by the way. It's like, not into it. So, but it's like, okay, there's just a social confrontation. Like, okay, first things first, I don't really respect the opinions of cowards. That's one thing. But let's just be aware of how this entire thing's worked, because mentally, we don't really realize it. We don't think, who is this person behind the keyboard? We think, oh, this is just written text. And for some reason, like, written text doesn't exist in nature. For some reason, we as humans almost view written text as like a written word, as the Holy Bible, as this like factual truth. And they otherwise treat it like business. You know, don't read the hater comments. In fact, if you can get a virtual assistant to read the comments for you in case you need to do that, do that. But also just to have a plan for fan engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people will just say, hey, the fans are the fans. I'm going to put everything in regards to actual engagement behind a paywall, even if it's just, you know, super chats. And it's like, okay, that already filters out 99.9% of the haters. And that's always doable. And if you need metrics or anything else to really grow the social media or the cam sites or whatever, just only use it as business stuff and say, hey, who's engaging? And the best thing to do is just try not to take it personally. And make sure you have your friends around you. Make sure you have people who love you, because we don't want to invalidate it. We don't want to say, oh, just suck it up. It's just, you know, words on the internet. It's like, no. We're allowed to be sensitive to other people's disparaging remarks. We can say that, and we can say, you know what? This, I'm only limiting it to 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, or only what I need to do for work. And that's it. I'm going to surround myself with people who love me, who show me affection, in the way that I really need it. And do that as well. Do that on social media. Give me all the love, fans.
Yeah.
Do that.
And what you said is really valid as well, treating it like a business. Because then you can also, you know, that is in the back of your mind as you're responding to something, that you are representing your business. And so to get caught up and emotional, and everybody remembers when like a corporation does something silly and like snaps back at somebody on Instagram or something like that, that always goes down poorly. So, you know, do remember that you are representing your business when you're doing these things. Mm-hmm. you know, with your friends, you can air your grievances and get your support, and don't take to heart like what people are saying online, because also they're saying it about the business, not about you, the person.
Yeah. Also, don't people have other things to do? Like, don't engage in flame wars. For as much time as you would be spending on listening to these haters or getting into a fight about, I don't know, whatever political opinion you have, you could be spending that time doing your budget, making more money.
It's so crazy.
Hanging out with friends, going to the beach, going to yoga, do something good so you don't have to, you know, be terminally online and sucked into them.
I want to know where they find the time, because I would like that time.
Well, they don't have jobs. Like, or they don't have the other things to do with their lives. Like, I mean, I hate to be so, callous and judgy about it, but it's like, I do know a lot of people who are terminally online. It's like, when was the last time you saw sunlight?
Yeah. And it can be easy also. Like, I think on Twitter, it is such a big sex worker space that it could be easy to kind of get caught up in the drama and stuff. And do remember that other creators are going to look at your Twitter and your comments and replies and gauge that as a business when they're choosing to work with you. Brands will do the same. So remember that before getting caught up on Twitter. It can be a little bit easier. There can be a lot of, I don't want to call it performative, but there's a lot of stuff of people that want to ban, a certain website or something like that. And if you work with this person or with this website or this company at all, I don't want anything to do with you, and going on a whole rant on their Twitter. And like, you can just keep that to yourself and just choose to not work with people when you see that. Like, the announcing of those things, I find odd, or I think that's what I find performative. Like, if you don't like something, then just don't like it. You don't need to announce to the world about how good of a person you are for not liking that thing.
True. And I would only say to announce it when it's genuinely dangerous. Like, if someone
is hurting other people.
Yeah. That's when you announce it. And you don't need to make a moral thing. You just be like, no, this person's dangerous. Stay the hell away from this person.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, I've seen, you know, attention, Vegas models. And it doesn't even like necessarily list the person's name or anything, but it says, I just worked with a photographer in the Vegas area. I had this experience. It was dangerous. Please DM me if you're considering working so I can let you know who this person is. That's an example of that where I see done in what I would see a much more helpful manner. Instead of saying, if you're in Vegas, I would never work with a male photographer because they all do this. And if you work with Vegas photographers, I don't want to work with you either. And I'm like, what? This is just an angry post. It doesn't really help anybody. So Twitter can be a little bit, Twitter is like the halfway between, you know, I feel like Instagram, you're going to be having a lot more fan facing. And then Twitter is kind of like, it's half in the industry, half also fans. So there's a lot of mixing of that, and it can be easy to forget and go, oh, this is just me talking with other people in my industry, and forget that like everyone is privy to this conversation.
Yeah. Just be aware. Just be aware of what you post, and is it really serving you? Not just now and wanting to get some emotion out, but really for the long
time. Take some time. Take 10 minutes, have a cup of tea, think about it, talk about it with a friend. Before you hit that send button.
Perfect. Yeah.
A pause. Right. Yeah. So I think you wanted to mention some things if people had questions about insurance, utilizing insurance.
Insurance was created by demons to try to kill us all. No, it's very, very confusing.
It's from hell.
Yes. I get paid by insurance. I know a lot about insurance, and I'm still not an expert. If you are having trouble finding a sex workers friendly counselor or other medical professional, and you want to use your insurance and you don't know how to begin, contact me and I can try to help you out as best I can, because it is confusing. And as Jordan said, the insurance companies do want to keep you stupid so they can still just charge you and be underutilized and keep all their money. So if you want to use that, I can explain in more detail what the limits of confidentiality are and all the other things that we can get into in regards to that. And if you have any other questions about Pineapple Support or the other charities I work for or anything like that, or how, you know, private pay works, I'd be happy to answer that in more detail as well. So I get it. I wish I had a me, you know, 10 years ago when I was first starting out and being like, How do I file a 1500 CMS form and invoice? And
it's like, terrifying.
No, it's difficult. And that's the thing. I don't want anyone to go alone during the insurance route. Like, let me help you out here and explain what your rights are in detail and how to call the insurance company or how to use their website. Cause I can help you, just get a little bit better at this. So you don't have to freak out and die.
Right. Because it really, it can be just about how you ask a certain question to insurance. It literally can be how you say your words and what words you choose. That can be the difference between getting accepted or denied. And that blows my mind. Yeah. But we have people like you to help with that.
Exactly. Don't let these people bully you. And you as the customer, as the insurance customer, actually have more power than I do as the provider. Because they have to make sure that they tell you exactly what your deductible is and your copay and everything else. So you're not screwed and you're not stuck paying me $200 a session. But I only get an estimate, and I'm here to help empower you, because it's you and me against the insurance companies, even though they pay me.
I love that. You're here for the people. Well, so exactly. If I need to reach out to you or somebody needs to reach out to you, how can we contact you or find you on the internet, Steve?
My website is prosperitycc.com. That's Prosperity Counseling and Coaching. So prosperitycc.com. And then that's you. That's my best one. And then if we can, I'll just leave my phone number and email in your show notes. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because my email is long.
Okay, we'll put the email in the show notes. Awesome. What a good conversation today with
this
you.
This is great.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think this is just a really important topic. This Absolutely. Community of people, like I said, a lot of us come from survival backgrounds. Mm-hmm. This line of work in and of itself is particularly ravaging on the mind without the proper help. So having these resources for mental health care and then also harm reduction services, just want to repeat also that if you need things like Narcan or fentanyl test strips, please reach out to Steven or Pineapple Support.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
See everybody next time.
See ya.
Are you a passionate adult content creator striving for greater success? My name is Stella Skye, CEO of Minx Digital, and we are here to empower creators like you. Minx Digital offers a comprehensive 8-hour adult content creator course meticulously designed to enhance your skills and increase your monthly revenue. As a special offer for our listeners, use code PODCAST to save 60% off. We also offer a range of creator services to elevate your online presence, from custom domain setup to link site buildout, to efficient email collection and marketing strategies, we're here to help you shine in the digital landscape. Our expertise also extends to building full member websites, managing affiliate programs, and helping you secure brand deals to maximize your money-making opportunities. Go to minxdigital.com for more information, or you can email me directly, Stella@minxdigital.com, to set up a consultation.